Okay, so let's start by paying full attention to the sound of the bell. So, let's start. Buddha said, life is suffering. Then this is a Four Noble Truths. Then Four Noble Truths continues. Yes, there is a cause of this suffering. Then if you can get rid of the cause of the suffering, you'll be liberated. And you should do this practice for this. And he shows eight noble paths. Something like that, you know? And as a Buddhist, this is, of course, most basic thing, basic knowledge, you know? But I don't think we understand it, you know? Then, can we explain a little bit more easily? You know? Then maybe I can explain like this. Very easy, you know? Suffering is self-created. That's it. You made it. You created this suffering. So please don't misunderstand. You know, I'm not blaming you. I'm giving you a hope. Why? Because if it's me, if I have created suffering, then I can stop it by not creating it anymore. Something like that. So if you try to understand Buddhism like this, then you can understand everything. You can understand whatever Buddha or other teachers are saying. But if you miss this point, then again you will fall into a very, some kind of trap. Then maybe you expect some great master will give me some kind of miracle, something like that. Or if I go to some kind of exotic foreign country, I'll be okay, you know? Or something like that. So, of course, I'm not negating great master. Of course, great master exists. And I have been studying Dharma with such a great masters, Japanese, Myanmar, Burmese, and Tibetan. You know, like that. But if we miss this point, suffering is self-created. Then we miss the whole point of Dharma. Okay? So, for example, you know, we read passage from Dhammapada's. This is also very famous. He who lives looking for pleasures only, his senses uncontrolled, immoderate in his food, idle and weak, Mala, of course the tempter, you know, will certainly overthrow him as the wind throws down a weak tree. And next, you know, he who lives without looking for pleasures, his senses well controlled, moderate in his food, faithful and strong, him, Mala, will certainly not overthrow any more than the wind throws down a rocky mountain. No? This is so very, very like a typical Buddhist passage, you know? Like looking for some kind of pleasures and senses that completely uncontrolled, you know? And then driven by always some kind of desire or anything like that, you know? Then very easily, you know, we fall into some kind of trap, like a Mara, you know? But then if we, like, restrict myself, you know, no, pleasure, not good. I shouldn't have any anger, I shouldn't have any attachment, or like that. Then, self-restraint, then any Mara or devil cannot attack me, then I'll be safe. Something like that, you know. But if you miss a point, again, this kind of passage can be very misleading. You know? Why? Because then, again, you try to suppress your desire for pleasure, and you try to suppress your anger, or like that. You know? Then you become very frustrated. Then soon you will criticize other people who are like enjoying some kind of pleasure. You know? Like that. So, this kind of thing is so difficult to control, to deal with this. You know? But if we really understand how the suffering is self-created, then we can also understand the true meaning of this kind of passage. Well, true meaning of everything, true meaning of watching breath, true meaning of taking refuge in Buddha, true meaning of teacher and disciple relationship, everything. You know. But if you miss this point of self-created suffering, I'll explain later, then everything is becomes chaotic. Your relationship with your teacher will be very weird. You might have some kind of self-attachment, emotional attachment to your teacher, or you will expect him to do some kind of miracle to me. Or you become completely dependent on him, or you'll be proud of him, or he's very famous, worldly famous teacher, or like that. I'm a disciple of him. So it means you are saying he's great, but you are implying I am great because I'm a disciple of such a great teacher. You understand? Then, my sect is the best in the Buddhist sect. What does it mean? You are not saying your sect is the best. You are saying you are best. You know, it means it's just your pride. Okay? So, that's why everything can be just a trap. If we miss this point, self-created suffering. Okay? But if we really understand self-created suffering, then we can understand everything. Then our relationship with the teacher will be just healthy. Okay? If he is a great teacher, he will point out, he will give you diagnosis of your disease, your suffering. It means he will point out the fundamental cause of your suffering. Then he will give you medicine, therapy, how to cure this disease. Then you try it. And you take this medicine with lots of very careful point, and you take it. Then what's happened to you, to your mind, your body, and how you are becoming healthier and healthier, healthier, like that. You know? If your relationship with the teacher is something like this. Then, no more emotional attachment, no more dependency, no more pride, no more wishy-washy, no more competing each other during students. You know that among great masters, students are just feeling jealousy each other. You know that. It's very unhealthy. Why? Because people are missing this point, self-created suffering. But if you really understand that, we can get rid of all these things. Your relationship with the teacher will be just healthy and productive, and with your among students, there is only one thing, just friendship. You know, this should be Buddhist Sangha. But unfortunately, today's Buddhist Sangha is not like that, full of jealousy, full of conflict, full of wishy-washy things. Why? Because people miss this point, self-created suffering. Okay, so then I said, self-created, it means I created my suffering. But how you created your suffering? And how did I create? Okay, then already we discussed about yes and no. Yes and no. Okay, let's repeat again. Okay, this morning it's raining. Today it's cloudy. It's raining. It's very cold, you know. Then, as I said, cold weather is just a natural phenomenon. It's nothing to do with good or bad. It's just nature. You know, but immediately we say no to this weather. And then this weather becomes dreadful weather, bad weather. Then we believe bad weather exists objectively. That's why I'm miserable. And I have right to be miserable. I am justified to be miserable because of this bad weather. But then if we analyze all this, what is the fundamental cause of misery? This is just no. This is just only no who you said to the weather. Okay? But we said no so quickly, that's why we don't even know that we said no. Okay? But now we know that, yes, it's me. I said no to the weather. I said no to my stomachache. I said no like that. Okay? So, then again, yeah, as we discussed yesterday, then we can have another option. Option of saying yes. Saying yes to the weather. Saying yes to my stomachache. Then what happens? Nothing happens. Rain is still raining. Stomach is not so good continuously. But you are not miserable. You are not unhappy. You know that, like that. Okay? So, then now you have a choice saying no, saying yes. You know? But again, saying yes is of course very tricky. Very difficult. Why? Then we have to understand this point. Your thinking mind cannot say yes to the situation. You know, your thinking mind can say only no. Why? Because it's nature. It's the nature of your thinking mind. It's the nature of our, it's a characteristic of our thinking mind. You know? So, that's why if you are, you have only thinking mind, then it's almost or absolutely impossible to say yes. You know. So then, if you still try to force you to say yes with your thinking mind, then what happens? Nothing happens, but then this is, as I said, you know, superficial Buddhist practitioner, you know. Then if we read Buddhist texts superficially, you know, then Buddha says like, okay, I should not seek for pleasure, you know, or like that. Or I should not be angry, you know. Or I should not have any attachment. I should be compassionate, or like that. Okay? Does it work? No, it doesn't. You know? Maybe you can pretend to be compassionate. You know? You can recite some Shantideva's verses, or some compassion meditation prayers, or like that. But once you, if something real hit you, you know, your real nature will be revealed. You know, your partner give you very insulting words. Then immediately you forget everything. You know, so, something like that. So, that's why, you know, as long as you are still just a thinking mind, then you can say only no. And if you try to say yes, it still doesn't work. Okay? Then, okay, it's raining. No, I should not become miserable, you know. I should be happy, you know. Even if it's raining, but I'm so miserable, you know. Something like that. Okay? Then it's become, the situation becomes more complicated. Maybe it's better to become just simply miserable, you know, with your morning rain. You know? So then, how come we can avoid this kind of complicated situation? How come we can really say yes to the morning rain? Not by forcing ourselves, you know. Then only one thing is, we really have to let go of our thinking mind. And we really have to go beyond our thinking mind. Why? Because as I said, nature of our thinking mind is, it can say only no, because it's nature. You know? And please check your thinking mind. You know, we say some kind of critical thinking, you know, thinking and criticizing, you know, but thinking and criticizing is almost the same and so similar, you know, and that's why people who have a very sharp thinking mind, they are always criticizing everything. You know that, you know. They are criticizing food, they are criticizing cinema, they are criticizing politics, they are criticizing blah, 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 and they are criticizing their partners or something like that. Okay? So that's why thinking and criticizing are almost very similar, almost synonymous in any languages, you know, like that. So that's why our thinking mind is so close to the negativities, you know. Then that's why thinking mind, it's absolutely difficult to say yes, or unless they force themselves to say yes, you know, like that. Okay, so then I said, we still have a choice, option, saying yes, saying no to the reality. You know? Then we know, now we know that if we say no, it means we are creating suffering. You know? And this is the meaning of life is suffering. Why life is suffering? Because we have been creating our own suffering. And also, it almost, we couldn't have any other choice, you know. That's why suffering is inevitable. You know, this is a Buddha's point. Because we couldn't say yes, we could only say no, and by saying no, we have created suffering. That's why this suffering is inevitable. You know, this is the meaning of life is suffering. Okay? According to my interpretation, you know. So then, Then how come, how can we say yes? Then how can we say such a, another option? Okay? Then now we know our thinking mind, if we depend on our thinking mind, it's absolutely almost impossible to say yes. Because thinking mind has such kind of nature, you know? Then we really have to go beyond our thinking mind. But then, this is another problem. I said, your thinking mind, you know? Then what kind of relationship do you have with your thinking mind? You know? It's not like I have my thinking mind. It's not like that. Why? Because it's not like you have your thinking mind. No. You are your thinking mind. You and your thinking mind are completely identical in ordinary situation. You know, in this world. You know, not only in the West, not only in India, not only in Japan, everywhere like that. So, it means, what does it mean? We are thinking mind. We are thinking mind, and thinking mind has this kind of body. You know? So that's why body is some kind of foreign to us. We say, my body, but still your body is foreign to you. Why? Because you, you know, if you examine you, you will see it's your thinking mind. This is the core of you, you know. Then you are thinking mind, and your thinking mind has a body. Usually this kind of relationship. That's why your body is foreign to you. That's why you have been ignoring your body for a long time. Unless you cannot ignore it by because of having too much pain or like that. You know? But usually you want to ignore your pain, your body, because you are thinking mind. Then you are stuck already. If why? Because you are your thinking mind itself. And your thinking mind cannot say no. Actually, cannot say yes. Will say only no. And by saying no to the reality, you are creating suffering. You know? So that's why it means no way. You cannot escape from suffering because of this kind of structure. Okay? So it means as long as you are identified with your thinking mind, you cannot, your life is completely stuck, dead end. Because inevitably you cannot avoid. Inevitably you are going to create suffering, and you cannot avoid this suffering. But I said to you, you have a still option, you know. So am I a liar? No, please listen, okay? Point two, as long as you are your thinking mind, then it's totally out. Game is over. You know? Game is over. We lose. But we don't have to lose. Game is not yet over. Okay? How? You are not your thinking mind. Please understand. You, until now, you are thinking mind. This is a your present old identity. That's it. Then, as long as you have this identity, game is over. You cannot overcome your suffering. Your great teacher cannot do anything. You know? So then, but are you really thinking mind? Am I really just a thinking mind? No. Completely no. I am not, I'm sorry. And you are not. Yes, you have a thinking mind. It's true. You know, you are thinking. I'm thinking. But you are not your thinking mind. you are more than thinking mind. Okay? So like a, you know, like a Prashant or Praveen, they are Deepak stuff. You know? They think they are just a Deepak stuff. That's it. You know? Then they start to afraid of outside of Deepak. Why? Because if they go outside of Deepak, they will become nothing. You know? But Prashant, no, I met Prashant in Japan, you know, this year, two times, you know. But Prashant is Prashant, you know. Prashant is just a human being, you know. Director of Deepak is just a part of him, you know. So Prashant is beyond director of Deepak. He is a director of Deepak, it's true. But he is more than that. That's why he can come to Japan and he can talk with me, just as a human being. Okay? It's the same. You have your thinking mind, but you are not your thinking mind. So, this is a trickiest thing. Then, and this, there are not so much clear explanation about this point, you know. Then, like even great meditation master didn't explain this well. Then, for example, great meditation master, he entered into meditative state, very deep meditative state. In this meditative state, he can clearly see in-breath, out-breath, very clearly. Then he thought he is watching breath. Then he gave instruction to his students. Oh, students, you should watch your breath. Then student followed master's instruction. Okay, I try to watch my breath. You know? Then what's happened? This student couldn't watch breath. Why? Master could watch breath. Student could not watch breath. Why? Now we know why. Master didn't watch a breath. Or, precisely speaking, Master's thinking mind is not watching breath. Okay? But a student tried to do, student's thinking mind is trying to watch breath. That's why it didn't work. So what's wrong? Nothing wrong, but master's instruction is not exactly precise. Something most important point is lacking in this instruction. So as I said, what's the most important instruction? Then master should explain who is watching the breath. This explanation was lacking. That's why his students tried to watch the breath by his thinking mind. Then didn't work. Okay? So, but if master can clearly see what is really going on in him, then he can clearly see something which is different from his thinking mind is watching breath. Yes, he is great master, but he has also thinking mind. But thinking mind is not all. He is more than that. And he can easily let go of his thinking mind. Then after letting go of his thinking mind, then in-breath, out-breath becomes so clear for him. Then he is thought he is watching breath. No, it's not true. Or, precisely speaking, his thinking mind is not watching breath. Something else is watching breath. Okay? So then, point is, now we have to go back to us. Then, now, I have a thinking mind, but I am not thinking mind. I am more than that. How do I know that? Why don't we just throw away this our thinking mind? Then why, let's do experiment. Okay, let's throw away our thinking mind. Do we become just nothing? Do we disappear? No, we don't. You can experiment this very easily in your meditation. Okay? You can let go of your thinking mind. Then what will happen? You will become more conscious. You will become more clear. You will become more aware. You know? You will have a more clear awareness. But not thinking. What does it mean? It means you are not thinking mind. You are more than that. Okay? So only then we can say yes, we can say finally yes to that situation. So what kind of explanation did you get about so-called Vipassana meditation? Vipassana meditation master, what did you say? What did he say to you? He said to you, please watch things as it is. Right? Am I right? Right? So please watch things as they are. What does it mean? Okay, I'll watch like this, you know. The people try to watch things. Oh, I'm doing Vipassana meditation. No, you are not. I'm sorry, you are not doing Vipassana meditation. No? Vipassana meditation, what does it mean? We have to observe things as they are. What does it mean? It means we are watching things with yes, without no saying no. Is it possible? No, it's not possible if we are in the realm of thinking mind. Why? Our thinking mind is always saying no to the situation. That's why for thinking mind, Vipassana meditation is absolutely impossible. Because our thinking mind is always saying no, 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 no to the situation, to the things. That's why our thinking mind cannot see the things as they are. Okay? So, then, for Vipassana, if we cannot do Vipassana, maybe we need a Samatha meditation, you know? Samatha meditation, we have to cultivate concentration, you know, something like that. But what does it mean, you know? I'm sorry, thinking mind cannot have concentration. Thinking mind is monkey mind, and monkey is not at all, doesn't have any concentration, you know? It's not like a training monkey mind, I can get concentration. It's, of course not. Of course it's impossible. Then what does it mean, concentration? Concentration means we really have to throw away, let go of our such a monkey mind, thinking mind. And only there, concentration is there. Why? Because there is not anymore jumping around mind. Okay? So what does it mean all meditation instruction? What are they pointing out? They are pointing out only one thing. We really have to go beyond our thinking mind. Then when we go beyond our thinking mind, and then finally we can say yes. Why? Because there is no more thinking mind. No more thinking mind which has been saying no to everything. Like that. Okay? So then, finally, we can say yes to the things. You know? Then at that time, we can clearly see things as they are. What do I see? It's just raining. It's just raining. Nothing wrong. Nothing dreadful. Nothing bad. It's just raining. And my stomach's condition is not so good. Condition is not good. That's it. You know? Then finally we can see things as they are. Okay? So then point is, summing up. Okay? Buddha said, life is suffering. What does it mean? It means life is suffering is self-created. How did we create our suffering? By saying no to the situation. Then how can we say yes to the situation? Only let go of our thinking mind. Why? Because our thinking mind can say only no. Our thinking mind cannot say yes. That's why we have to let go of our thinking mind. But if we let go of our thinking mind, do we become nothing? We thought we are afraid of this. Because why? Because we are thinking mind. We and thinking mind are completely identical. You know? But now we know that we are not thinking mind. We have thinking mind, but we are not. Then it means we are beyond thinking mind. That's why finally we can say yes to the situation. Then finally we can do Vipassana meditation. Why? Because we can finally observe things as they are without saying no. Then finally we can stop creating suffering by saying yes. Okay, so finally, so then this is our new old identity and new identity. Okay, so now we are entering into the realm of new identity, and now it's a realm of subtle consciousness. So we still have two more days. So using 2 days, let's concentrate on subtle consciousness itself, because we discuss enough about thinking mind, saying no, or self-created suffering, or that kind of things. You know? Okay, let's go different dimension. Okay, that's it. Okay, so now question and answer session. Please ask any question. Oh, yes, okay. So...
This technique of saying yes.
No, it's not technique. Okay. Yes. Okay. Yes.
I have two dilemmas. I have two dilemmas.
Dilemma, okay.
Yes. Mm. One internal, other external. I am an ordinary human being. I have a desire, suppose, to steal, to break the 5 vows that Buddha talks about. How does this saying yes will help me? I have to resist this temptation. I have to say no to what I feel like.
Okay.
Then only I am probably able to overcome that. Okay. If I say yes, it happened to me, and then how do I resist it? This is why.
Okay.
The second is, suppose I am a tribal, and my land has been taken away by the government, by an oppressive government, which is planning to set up a nuclear plant. This is a suffering which is imposed by an external force, the government. By feeling yes or saying yes to the situation, how do I resist this? How do I make the situation change and make it for the change for the better?
Okay.
If I want to say no to the situation, then only probably I can fight. I think I need to fight.
Okay. Oh my. Yeah. Thanks so much. Two questions, excellent, you know. Excellent means excellent for me, you know, because I can explain more, I can explain things more clearly. Okay, so let's start from your internal dilemma, you know. So I said we have to say yes, but it does not mean we have to say yes to our desire, to our anger, to our, you know, to a desire to steal or like that, you know. So it's not like if I say yes, okay, now I can do anything. Okay, I'm free. I can eat as much as I can. I can steal. I can have sexual misconduct, you know, something like that. This is not yes. You know, why? Because, okay, now stealing. Okay, let's concentrate on stealing. Okay? In front of you, there's some kind of money, but other people's money, not your money, other people's money or other people's treasure or like that. They don't belong to you. You know, this second precept, adinna dana vera mani, no? It's not like we should not take which doesn't belong to you. You know, it's adinna dana. You know? So, if I have a desire to for something which doesn't belong to me, it belongs to others, you know? But you want it. Then, okay, I have to say yes to my desire. This is not my yes, what I mean, you know? But already you said no to you. What kind of no? Because you are not satisfied with your present situation. Right? You understand? Okay, in front of you are someone's money, someone's treasure. Then you are not satisfied with you. Okay? So what does it mean? You are saying no to you. This is no. Yes, sir? As I said, raining, and you said no. And stomachache, you said no. And now, in front of you, this is a treasure. And you said no to you, because you are not satisfied. You said no to you. That's why you want this one. Okay? So if you are completely say yes to yourself, you are completely satisfied, then you don't need anything. You don't need other people's money. You don't need other people's treasure. Okay? This is the meaning of yes. It's not like a yes to my desire. No. Desire is a big no. Okay? Anger is big no to something uncomfortable. Desire is also big no to something comfortable. So anger and desire are the opposite. But it's the same. Why same? It's still no. Yes, sir? Okay, so then a second question is more complicated, okay? So like last year a very big earthquake attacked Japan and tsunami. Because of tsunami, almost 20,000 people lost. 20,000 people's lives are lost. And it's tragedy, but also nuclear plants, of course, situated near the sea, and the tsunami attacked the nuclear plant. It's just, maybe all of you already seen that. Then, nuclear radiation, pollution, Then some people are so upset, or so afraid of things, then they are criticizing TEPCO, Tokyo Electric Power Company, and Japanese government, or like that. And their anger is so strong. And then they are not attacking only this electronic company, but not only just government, but they are attacking even people who are living in near nuclear plants. Why? Because these people are very egoistic, that's why they allowed this electronic company to build nuclear plants, that's why they are responsible like that, But as you know well, nuclear plants are very dangerous things, That's why usually they are built in like a countryside, not in the middle of New York or middle Tokyo or London, you know. And countryside, of course, economy is not so good, you know, everywhere same. Then farmers in countryside, they don't have enough income. Then they reluctantly accepted nuclear plants or like that. But anyway, this is the my political situation. Okay, so point is, I have seen this since almost last year's March. So much anger, so much frustration, so much that kind of things. And the, all this negative emotion didn't produce anything, you know. So I really thought, and I have been telling Japanese people, okay. Yes, I understand. It's so natural to be angry. It's so natural to be anxious about nuclear plant. But let's stop it. Now, first, let's overcome our negative emotion. You know, this is our first step. Why? Because if we have a, if with angry mind or anxious mind, we cannot deal with this mess which nuclear plants created. You know. So, point is, saying yes doesn't mean, okay, everything's okay. You know, of course, in this world, as you said, you know, injustice is still going on everywhere. It's true. Everywhere, it's true. That's why we so easily we become so angry, we become so anxious, you know, like that. But this anger, this anxiety doesn't produce anything to improve, like in Japanese case, nuclear plant's mess, you know. So that's why to improve real situation which was caused by nuclear plants or your situation like that, first we really have to overcome our negative emotion, you know, by saying yes. By saying yes doesn't mean anything's okay or not like that. Okay? Totally opposite. Okay? Only then we can really solve the problems, social problems. Okay? So that's why saying yes, the true meaning or deeper meaning of saying yes is like this. Okay. Just one more question, please. Okay, yes.
This saying yes, does it mean like whatever be the situation, you kind of be indifferent to it, or what is it?
Indifferent.
So I'm saying the situation.
Okay.
The situation could be good, and you may be in a like indifferent state, and it could be bad, and you're like equally indifferent. Is that what you mean?
Indifferent, right? Indifferent. Okay. Indifference is also a good word. Good word means, yeah. Okay. Okay. So, when we are living in the world of thinking mind, we have only two choices. And he is right. We can be indifferent, or we can be completely like engaged. You know, we become upset or angry or like that, lots of emotion, or indifference. You know, so that's why. Then, if you know only thinking mind world, then opposite of negative emotion is indifference. I don't care. I just don't care. You know, you are suffering. I don't care. You know. But it's not like that. In the world of thinking mind, we can imagine only indifference. But if we go beyond the world of thinking mind, We care everything, but we are not involved by emotion. you know. So, as long in the world of thinking mind, if you are involved with something, lots of emotion will arise. And if you want to avoid this emotion, then you have to be indifferent. You have to separate yourself from the situation. So you have only two choices. You know, involved with lots of emotion, and most of them are negative. You know? And then, I know that, because anti-nuclear plants, people, they are full of negative emotion. I know that. No? Then, if we want to avoid them, we have to separate me from the situation, then we have to be indifferent. So, only two choices. And both of them are not productive. You know? But now, I'm saying we have to go beyond this world of thinking mind. Then we care. Why? Because without any emotion, we can see things very clearly. You know? Because we say already yes to the raining. You know? So that's why we can see the very small detail of raining. But people who say no, oh my goodness, oh my dreadful rain, oh, that kind of people don't see the rain well, you know? Right? So, only by saying yes, we can see the situation more objectively, more clearly, and it's easy to find the solution of the situation. You know, so that's why I'm telling to Japanese people first, okay, let's overcome our anger and anxiety. Otherwise, we cannot find a solution of this nuclear plant's mess, you know, like that. So it means indifference. As long as you are living in the world of thinking mind, indifference is only choice, not involved with this without any emotion. But you can have another choice, to go beyond thinking mind world. Then, without any negative emotion, but we can see things clearly, and we can see the details of the situation. And then, much easier to find the solution. Okay, I think that's enough. Okay, so let's continue. So we still have 2 more days, and I have not yet reached the subtle consciousness, you know. So maybe we'll spend two days to discuss about subtle consciousness. Okay, thank you very much. Thank you.